The following podcast discusses topics about mental health struggles and illnesses, including trauma, loss, grief, and a brief mention of cancer. If you are sensitive to these topics or find them triggering, please continue listening with caution. If at any point the conversation is too much or you feel like you need to talk to someone, know that help is available. You can call the Guam Behavioral Health and Wellness Center 24-hour crisis hotline at 647-8833 or the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255.
Welcome to Everything's Cherry, a podcast for casual conversations about all things mental health related.
On this podcast, we share personal stories, advice from professionals, and other musings on how everything and anything can relate to our mental health.
I'm CJ.
I'm Roselle.
And today we have a special guest with us. We have Joyce Torres, storyteller, activist, and all-around awesome creative. Welcome, Joyce. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello, friends. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Joyce, if you just wanted to start by giving an introduction of who you are and what you do.
For sure. So like Siege said, I'm a storyteller, an activist, and an artist, really a Jill of many trades. I don't know. I like the theater. I like music. I love to write. I love to perform. Just someone that likes to tell a good story and the multiple outlets that, you know, I dabble with. That's me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Of course, friends. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I'm just going to go ahead and throw out here that, like, this isn't meant to be, like, a formal interview, right? We're just girls chatting, right? We're just chilling here, right? The whole point of Everything's Cherry is to make it see the conversation about mental health to seem more accessible, and for people to feel like they can talk about it more, right? So that being said, if you don't mind at all starting with this, do you want to kind of talk about a little bit of your personal journey with your mental health?
Yeah, of course. I don't know. I think, you know, life, I think, is so fascinating to me. I was definitely, as someone now, like, if someone were to meet me now, I think I'm so much better along in my mental health journey. I'm pretty open about speaking about that stuff. I cry at literally everything. I'm not really great at hiding emotion as much as I used to before. I'm pretty much a person that feels deeply, I think, now at this point in my life. But before, I mean, that took years of, like, doing. Like, if you go back 10 years ago at this point, like, fresh 19, 18-year-old Joyce, I really didn't know how to process emotions. I was someone that was very, like, type A, non-emotional. I like to say I was, like, testosterone-filled. You know, I was surrounded by dudes in high school and in, like, you know, in life, in the different, like, extracurriculars that you did in high school. And I didn't really know how to process emotion. And I was so, just didn't know. I was either angry or, like, you know, neutral or didn't really have a say on anything. And so in relation to my mental health, it started as someone that, one, wasn't aware that I was struggling with so many, like, things and, like, talking about things and keeping in and holding on to so much, I guess, trauma. And then I get to go into the theater and I meet people that are just so open. And I like to joke now that, you know how they say some people go into, like, psych to learn more about themselves? I feel like I found the theater because I needed to learn more about emotion and, like, why as human beings we feel what we feel and, you know, why we do the things we do. And for me, the study of that really made me become aware that I was so, did not understand how to process what I was thinking. And then as someone that thinks a lot and that gets so much anxiety and, you know, being unable to recognize that, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I've been quiet about these things. I feel like that's my mental health journey. The discovery of like, oh my gosh, not only are these things, I don't say normal, I don't like the word normal, but like everyone's struggling with these things. And I just didn't realize that you don't realize the amount of things that you're struggling with, or that you're like barely keeping your head above water until someone points out, hey, why are you like almost drowning in the middle of the ocean? Do you need help? You know, you don't have to be alone out there. And yeah, I don't know. That was a whole bunch of random stuff. But I think, I guess for me, what I wanted to say was that now I'm pretty open as someone that talks about mental health. But before, I didn't. Like, I don't think CJ saw me cry until like a year into our friendship or something like that.
Yeah, I can definitely attest to that, because I met Joyce when she was 19, you know, fresh out of high school. And the Joyce I met never cried at all. I think until an acting class or something, right, where Michelle, our mentor, pulled it out of you. But yeah, I can definitely attest to seeing that. And now we both cry at the drop of the hat, which is not a bad thing. But definitely have seen your mental health journey firsthand, and see how all of that has tied together.
Cool. Thanks so much for sharing, Joyce. Can we talk a little bit about crying? I don't know if you want to share also, CJ, but I would like to also kind of share a little bit about my history with crying. So I've also always been the kind of person who, like, I think it's just like an anxiety response that I've always had since I was a kid. It's just like whenever I feel any kind of like overwhelming amount of emotion, I've always cried. So kind of growing up, it was something that I got teased about in my family, and also like criticized about, right? People called me the crybaby, right? And so like really early on, I kind of developed this ability to kind of cry without people noticing. like I'll be in the corner, like just kind of sobbing, but like super quiet and like not really moving. And so like, cause I always felt like ashamed of it, and I always felt guilty every time I cried. Right. It wasn't until my adulthood that I really just like starting allowing myself to cry in front of other people. And that's why, like, in public, you'll see me cry all of the time, right? I get in front of the audience, talk about anything, and I'm just, like, sobbing, right? And that's kind of, like, just, that's just something that I've always known how to do. And I've just, like, it wasn't until recently, like, maybe, like, the last, I don't know, like, 8 years or so that I really started to embrace that part of myself and didn't beat myself up over crying, right? Because like it's just a response that people have. Not like, you know, not everybody can cry so freely, and you know, now I feel so glad that I'm able to, you know.
Yeah,
I cry all the time. Like I genuinely think every single day of my life I cry for something big or small. And yeah, I've just always been a crier too, I think. And I work as an academic advisor in the daytime, and I'll literally be tearing up when students tell me about things, and I just like, I guess I'm like you, Rizal, where I've kind of learned how to like hide it. So it just something that's always been a part of me, because there's no shame. You're right. I think a lot of times we're told that we shouldn't do it, you're called a crybaby, but there's really nothing wrong with crying. I think it's a very healthy way to express our emotions. So I'm glad you were able to learn that, Joyce. That's awesome.
No, it's what's interesting now when I think back at like, well, I mean, at the root of it, I think it was one of those things where I recognized my life, right? Like, as a kid, I definitely was someone that was very emotionally driven, and then was very, not hyper aware, but just very vocal, right? Like, if I didn't like something, and I used to cry a lot. And then around, you know, I'm turning 10, and a bunch of like major life changes, and like the loss of my father, and like things with my like my health and a cancer scare and all of that. And it was like, with a drop of the hat, I had to grow up really quickly. So like before CJ meets me at like 19, from like 9 to 19, you grow up really fast, and I'm like the eldest daughter, or at least, you know, with my sister and I. And it was just like, I don't know who told me I wasn't allowed to cry. And here's the thing, I don't think anyone did, but I think Joyce at that time felt like I had to grow up, you know, and be like strong. And I'm really not sad, but I was like, you know, it's, you see it all the time. It's like crying, like you guys said, could potentially be seen as like some sort of weakness. And thinking about how, because of that, I just wouldn't cry in public. I wouldn't cry it like in front of people. And when I got frustrated, I find that I get really like, I was like bitchy. It's like, what's the word? Just like really cranky, really rude, you know? And then after realizing when I was able to finally start crying and like let that stuff out, it was so fascinating. Because I think it really is a release, which is why it's so healthy, right? Like it's our body saying, I'm overwhelmed with a feeling. And this is my way of like, not exuding, but like, comforting that like acknowledgement that I'm overwhelmed by something. And that's like joy, it's happiness, it's sadness. And because of that, I was like, oh my gosh, which is why I think I cry all the time now, because there's so much to be happy about, to laugh about, but also to cry because it's like high-key sad about, right. And it's so fast. I can't, like, looking at it now, I don't know if I could ever go back into a space where I wasn't allowed to let myself feel or cry, just because I see now. I was like, no, that makes so much sense when you like suppress that and you're not able to like express it at all. It's wild what it does to the body and like the psyche.
Mm-hmm. Right, completely. And yeah, thank you again for sharing that. It's hard sometimes when I think it's interesting you spoke about how you don't even think anyone told you not to cry. It's mm-hmm. just something you adopted yourself as a child. And so to have to unpack that later on in life, I'm sure it was definitely a challenge, but, you know, it's made you who you are today.
100%. 100%. I mean, it's really nice, I think, like, with what I'm trying to do with my life, that I'm so grateful that making sure mental health is a priority, I think now I acknowledge now, is, like, a big, you know, it's a task as a human being, but also, like, as an artist, I was like, it is so imperative. Like, you have to not have your emotions sorted out, because I don't think any of us are ever going to truly, like, be 100%, but I think if you're starting to become aware of emotion, I think it really does, at least for me, it served me a lot as an artist, as a performer, as a writer. I don't think, at least in my life, I don't see myself hopefully not ever distancing myself again and like reverting.
I feel like this is a nice way to kind of like segue into like your artistry, because like you and I, we worked on my short film together, right? And like the most amazing thing with working with Joyce, and like, so my short film, Good, it's about like my, basically a personal page ripped out of my journal about like the struggles a person can experience, like different experiences a person can have when they're depressed, right? When they're experiencing mm-hmm. depression. And something that was really like, that really astounded pretty much all of us was like working with Joyce, right? Was like, she could really just drop it, like drop the emotions like that. And like, and then turn, like once we called cut, she was like, how was that? You know? And it was crazy because you could really just see it all. She really just like let it loose, you know? And you could see like every, like the twitch of her lip as she cried, you know, where she was like trying to like not quite let it go all the way, those moments. And then like those moments where she really just let it out, like she really like trembled. You could really see like the tears just flowing. And it was just so beautiful to witness as it was happening, you know? It's like, it's so powerful to see like cut together, but it was just like experiencing it there, like just there. There was like this one moment where like I couldn't even call cut really, but like we cut and we were all just quiet and we're just like, wow, that was great, good, okay.
fans. I mean, I was thinking about it. Well, what's funny to me, like with CJ, I'm really lucky that I got surrounded by so many amazing friends and people that are criers. So I forget that it's not a thing that people do. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm so grateful. Like, even our girlfriend group and just like even the other artists that I'm surrounded by, like, genuinely do kind of have that same style of, like, when we're in that moment, like, really explore it and be expressive. But no, it was the first time, and it was a while before any of us had interacted with anyone in the outside world because of the panorama.
That's true.
But yeah, it was wild to go through it, because I was just like, I remember they were like, wait, you're really crying. And I was like, wait, people don't cry when they're recording, when they're like on set? I was so taken aback. I was like, wait, other actors aren't crying? What is this?
Yeah, I mean, like, not that, like, everybody can't cry, but, like, it's not that it's rare, but, like, it's not often that you see people who can just do it that way, you know what I mean? A lot of the times when, like, people are acting, crying, like, they need, like, a moment to really, like, to get it flowing. Sometimes they just pretend like they are, right? They just kind of make the motions of, but don't necessarily cry because it doesn't come as easily, right? So I think that's really what... took him aback a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I said it before and I'll say it again. I think, Rizal, I think it really was a testament to not only your great writing, but I think it's one of those things, at least for me, because when I go in, I don't necessarily try to be like, oh, you know, I'm going to pull from something in my history, only because I found that it wasn't really beneficial to me. Like, because Joyce, as a person, like, I found that whenever something's really difficult, I'm not naturally expressive, right? Like, I will disassociate, I will run away from whatever within me, or at least I've done that in the past. So, like, when it comes to acting, what's been so fascinating, like, the empathizing of that moment, but also really just taking in, like, everything that's happening is truth for me, and then reacting as if I was like, man, those such, you know, and like, again, because you wrote such a brilliant script and such, I mean, a lovely story of what the mind kind of goes through. At least for me, the hardest part was just letting myself sit in those emotions, because they're never right. No one wants to sit there and be like, we're gonna be sad. But I wanted to honor. I was like, it didn't take a lot for me necessarily to get into it, only because I think it's just, like you said, they're so universal. And I think that's what's wild about mental health. There's so many things that are so universal, but because it's not talked about as much, we don't realize, we're like, holy, like, the person, you know, that we're standing in line with at the grocery store is probably also going through something really wild. And like, I don't know. I'm a crier. I just love people life. But yeah, so good, Rizzo. Again, kudos to that. Good.
It is a beautiful film. I don't know where it'll be by the time this podcast comes out, but if there's a way for you to watch it, 10 out of 10 recommend. So Joyce, you brought up something I wanted to actually ask you about when you mentioned that, you know, you have to sit with the emotions as an actor, you know, whether or not it's like emotions that you know, substitution or whichever acting technique you use. But how, as an actor, do you know, what's your, like, self-care for yourself after, because I know you know you've done good and you have the show Comfort, which is a very, very emotionally intense and beautiful show. How do you separate yourself from that, and what are the things you do to care for yourself and your mental health?
I think it's strange, because I feel like, because I've really tried to cultivate a self-care culture for myself in my daily life, it really did help doing acting things thrive, if that makes sense. Do you know? Like, the second I started to get better about, you need to hold space for yourself for when I am in that space, but also when I'm, like you said, decongesting and kind of moving away from that. So for me, when it comes to doing it in the work, right, in that work, I have to become super mindful, not to get too heady about it, but like, I have to distance myself from the emotion to say I'm holding space to honor this emotion, but I have to also give space to let go of this emotion. And so, like, actively really having to sit with, like, especially with a show like Comfort, I think, and I think it also goes into, like, my work that I got to do in the yoga spaces and, like, meditation spaces. I think the practice of letting emotions come up naturally, but also letting them go, has been such an interesting practice that I've tried to get into. And like Rizal brought up, like, the ability to switch on and off. It's not necessarily because I want to distance myself from that, you know, like, from whatever I was going through. But I find, at least for me, I have to, like, keep myself open to, like, oh, I felt really sad that one second. And in the same way, I can also have space for, like, being happy or feeling good. So once I'm done with that, when I go home, I, like, up the ante on, like, the self-care. So it's, like, make sure to hydrate, make sure to take a shower of some sort and kind of, like, wash off what I was processing. And then also leave room to do something that'll bring me either some form of comfort or, like, joy. So whether that's, like, reading or watching a random YouTube video, I was also a big fan of, like, watching some sort of, like, dramatic series or, like, sci-fi something to just kind of, like, escapism for a little bit. So for me, it's a lot of, like, when I'm there, I'm really in it and I'm hyper present in whatever we're talking about. But the second we're off, I have to give myself permission to, like, leave it. Do you know what I mean? I have to be like, okay, that was really lovely, but I have to pull myself out for, you know, self-care sake. But also to show me that, like, you know, because the body doesn't know. Our bodies or our minds are so special like that. Like, even when, like, you get re-triggered, it feels like it's happening all over again. It's because our body isn't aware that these things aren't happening in real time. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I have to, like, even though when I'm acting, I'm not pulling from my stuff, I have to be aware that, like, my body is, at least the way I try to work, my body's kind of was feeling those things. So I have to be extra sensitive and careful and mindful with myself to do whatever feels good to make sure that I'm okay. And sometimes, honestly, it does mean having to go and pick up, like, a pint of ice cream. Like, I don't know. That's not what it is normally. Some days it's really easy and I'm able to be like, oh, I'm good. And other days it's like, I think I need to talk to a friend or, you know, I have to, like, really do, like, a form of out processing. Because it's, I mean, you know, it's emotions, man. I don't know if that made sense.
No, that totally made sense. And thank you so much for sharing those. I think those tips and tools are great even for people who aren't actors and people, you know, our goal with this podcast, right, is to get people to start talking about their mental health. Mm-hmm. But we want to make sure that people are able to talk about it in a safe way, you know, that isn't triggering to them. And so even if you're listening and you're not an actor, you know, those are great tips to step back when you get overwhelmed, even just sharing your own story. So thank you for that.
Thanks. When I think about mental health, though, for me, what's been so lovely, I think, about making the conversation normal, more normal, and, like, bringing it up with, like, friends and girlfriends, like, stuff like that. Like, it's so strange because I don't realize that it is part of the work to talk to your girlfriends or to have, like, you know, just a kind of vent session to vent. Or I didn't realize that that was part of the work only because I had such a great friend group that was just already doing it. But I mean, it is definitely, like, the thing for me that's really changed how I look at mental health conversations. Because a lot of them I realize now, they are mental health conversations, but because they happen so often that it's not mental health conversations, it's just, like, good quality conversations with friends, you know? Mm-hmm. As conversations should be, as opposed to the kind of, like, not fake, but shallow conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes me wonder, though, right? What can we do better as, like, supportive networks? I mean, what do you guys think? you know, we can do better to support our friends when we're trying to have, like, healthy mental health conversations. What do you think really works for you guys?
I don't know. I think what's been really lovely is, like, I know as we were getting older, it's wild. I was like, I didn't think I'd ever be the type that has to schedule chat sessions with friends. but because of the pandemic, I think that has been really beneficial, at least for me. And also the acknowledgement that, like, just because someone can't talk to you right now doesn't mean they necessarily don't want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. I think also giving each other space to be like, hey, I don't know what's up with you today, but if you do need the time, like, take the time, but know that I'm here. If you do want to check in with someone, I think has been really healthy, or helpful and healthy. So one, it's like making the effort, like, you, it is effort, right, to, like, meet up and talk. But I think also coming into a space of being like, hey, like, we all need time to decompress. And I think actually giving yourself space and time, whether you do actually talk about anything of value or not, I think making the time, at least for me, has been very beneficial, of knowing, like, even if I have nothing to say that day, I'm coming into the space to hold space. So hopefully, you know, maybe a friend needed it, or sometimes we go into the conversation and I don't realize I needed it, and I'm like sobbing, I'm like crying, being like, oh, my life. I don't know. What about you, CJ?
I think that's a really great question, and everything you've brought up so far is awesome. And I think in general, just a way we can support our friends who want to talk about it is just by being open and non-judgmental when people come to us, mm-hmm. you know, to talk about these things, like, just giving people the space to whatever they need to do, whether it's to cry and bawl or mm-hmm. vent, and just opening up that room that people can talk. And I think, yeah, Joyce, you kind of mentioned it earlier too, where it's interesting because we live and breathe in spaces where people talk about mental health all that time. Like, mm-hmm. It's just our, you know, who we are. And so if you're, you know, your friend group maybe isn't so open, sometimes you need to take that first step in being like, hey, let's talk about this, you know, let's have a cry session. Why not? Mm-hmm. Like, let's have space, and hold space for each other, I think is a really great step mm-hmm. in, opening up those spaces to have those conversations. And yeah, because like Joy said earlier, mental health conversations, sometimes it's just getting together with the gals and venting. Yeah. And yeah, just knowing that a mental health conversation isn't just like in the room with a therapist or in a podcasting room with three mental health advocates. It's wherever you are able to create space to talk and express yourself safely.
And I think also to, like, remove the pressure of, at least for me, a gift that, like, I forget where I read it or who said it, but it's essentially the idea that you don't need to have the answers, right? If someone is coming to you or you're hearing someone's story, like, it's not that it's not your responsibility. If you can, that's amazing. But I think from, like, friend to friend, I, like, have to acknowledge, at least for myself and to my friend, I'm not always going to know the right thing to say.
Right.
But I promise that I will sit there with you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I promise that I will stay. I will stay and I will listen. But I also need to give, you know, like, it's okay if you're unsure of what to say or, like, what the next step is. Like, I think simply, like, if someone's opening up to you, that already tells you you're doing something that was good. You know what I mean? Like, you're kind of getting it right if someone's willing to be open to you and to say something. So it's like, also all you have to do sometimes is genuinely just listen. And if you don't know, I like to ask, what would help you right now? What's really mm-hmm. what would help you in this moment? Do you want to just vent? Would you like advice? You know, and I think actively asking while also actively listening, mm-hmm. I think, you know, normally you'll find the answer there. I found that a lot of times when, like, we're venting with the girlfriends, it's like they'll say what their crisis is or what they're really, like, upset about. And if you're really listening, you'll hear, like, either the solution, or you'll hear them say, you know, the thing that they also need to hear, and then you just kind of repeat it back, and they're like, oh, that's the answer. But because you're actively listening, you just, you know, you're able to present it and be like, this is what I heard you say. Is that what's making you upset? And sometimes it's enough. Sometimes it's what we need.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I feel like as people, we often feel like when our friends are venting to us that we have to figure out how to fix it, right? But that's not necessarily always the solution, right? It's always like, mm-hmm. you know, people, you know, I just feel like that's just like something that happens a lot. Like, you know, you're just like, you should do this, you should do this, you should do that. Well, that's not necessarily always that what needs to help. So I think that it's really important to ask, right? Ask what mm-hmm. you're looking for out of a conversation. That way that, you know, the way that way the intent is clear, and also that way, like, you know, the person who's venting doesn't feel pressured to take any action or feel pressured mm-hmm. At all, because sometimes that it can happen that way. Like when a person is giving you advice, you all of a sudden you feel judged, right?
Yeah,
you feel like you're doing something wrong because like they're giving you advice, and that's not necessarily the case, right? But like mm-hmm. you know, a lot of, you know, these conversations, there's no like logical flow, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's based on feeling. It's how you're feeling in that moment. And mm-hmm. so like asking the person like, well, what are you looking for? Can be really helpful to move those conversations and to help them process their feelings, at least start to process their feelings in a productive way. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, you know, Joyce, thank you so much for sharing a lot of your personal journey with learning how to cry and how to hold space. You know, I know that you do a lot of work as an artist advocating for mm-hmm. mental health. Can you tell a little bit about the work you do and kind of why it's important to do that at that level?
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, it's multiple things, right? So, like, one of the big things that I'm really grateful that I'm able to be a part of right now is I'm one of the directors for the Unspoken series of shows. And Unspoken is kind of like an original works anthology and a celebration not only of original works, but a celebration of expression. And a big part of what I like to do and what I want to do more in the future is taking a space like the theater and showing that it can be a safe space for expression. And then also showing people how do we translate how we're feeling or our stories into something in that style has been a big part of my life for the past 3 years now. And that comes from a place of, I know that the theater has given me so much access to processing my feelings and getting better at acknowledging where I am in my emotion and therefore my mental health. And so a big part of my mission now is to join others who want to also share that gift. So that's a big part of my work. And then another part of my work as like an actor and a performer, I think one for me, I've always wanted to see more of that in the media. So seeing like someone that's plus size and Filipino, Chamorro, or Pacific Islander, Asian, wanted to see more people that were fully rounded and had feelings and cried and, you know, all of that. So a big part of the work for me is how can I truthfully and honestly express these emotions in an effort to highlight that, like, you know, what these emotions not could be, but, you know, I think I wonder how different my life would be if I saw someone that looked like me, that was presented as like strong or whatever, or, you know, whatever, and then also got to see them cry and be open and vulnerable and honest and really mature and really adult about something. I feel like seeing content like that can change culture, you know, yes. mental health culture. It can change, you know, plus size culture, all of those things. So that's another aspect of what I want to do as a performer, is how can I not only amplify stories that I think the world needs to hear, but also do it in a way where using myself as the vessel, that I hope when people see that I'm taking the time to be this vulnerable and honest, I hope it encourages other people to also be vulnerable and honest and engage in these different conversations. So I don't know. I think for me, obviously, I don't think I'm ever going to try to come into the mental health space to be like, this is how you fix everything. But I would like to create a space where people feel like they could come and talk about that, and then also create a space where they'll feel listened to or seen. I think that's really important for me. It's like, how can people feel more seen in the spaces that I create or inhabit? And I don't know, and I at least for my personal mental health journey, I think that's really a big important part for myself, is feeling kind of understood or understanding myself and all of the liberties and the amazing things in my life that have happened because of those moments. So it's like, how can I share similar moments to other people and serve as like an access point, or like, you know, a keyed entry point to get into this space as well. I think that's it. That was a little random stuff.
That is really, really powerful, and thank you for the work you do and continue to do. I think while you were talking, you really brought up a good point that when we think about, and this might be a little bit of a tangent, but when we think about mainstream media, a lot of times, you know, people that are plus size or people that are BIPOC, you know, they are a lot of times used as the side characters that propel, you know, just saying it straight out there, you know, to propel the stories of the white leads who get to process the emotions on the screen, who get to have the emotional big scenes and the monologues. And yeah, mm-hmm. I never really thought about it that we don't really get to see, you know, BIPOC people, plus size people, the basically non-white people really have those moments. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so powerful to want to be able to represent that in the media, not just representation, but representation across all boards, right? Of mm-hmm. The spectrum of emotions. Like, yes, we love to see strong Asian leads, but we're, you know, we also want to see well-rounded leads. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. that is really powerful, and we're super excited to see what you're going to be doing.
Hopefully there's stuff. I don't know. I think what's really nice about this industry is I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe next year I'm a lawyer. I don't know. But for the meantime, I'm enjoying creating stories. No, I think, I mean, what's been fascinating to me, I think, realizing more so now, in relation to the mainstream media, I think it's also been so fascinating to see what happens when these conversations come up and just kind of like how it gets portrayed. And I feel like it is a mix between like either the glamorization, where I was like, okay, I get it, but it's like just they kind of skim the surface of something, or like I'll see something else come up, and I'm not saying they were reckless, but I have seen some projects where like they bring up things that are kind of like potentially traumatizing and triggering, and I'll know. I'm like, that was a male director, and that male director totally did not come into this project trying to not make that a safe space, but like, you know, I don't know, just so many things in the media where I'm like, I want to see kind of more of that content, but I also think there's different ways to approach the material, right. You know,
there's ways to talk about trauma without like inducing it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Joyce, so much for sharing all that. I think you made a lot of really great points. Was there anything else that you really wanted to share or tell our listeners? Hopefully there's plural.
Yeah. No, you guys are going to totally have listeners. I have no doubts that there will be listeners. Hello, listeners. No, I think the one thing that I do, I guess, want to bring in, since we've talked a lot about acting and like how doing that in my personal life, one of the things that I think has served me the most is the understanding that all our emotions go through a singular channel. Does that make sense? Like everything that we feel, right? There's like, it's going through one way. Right, joy, love, sadness, anger, all of that gets channeled through kind of the same space. So whenever we block off something, right, when we're like, oh, I'm not going to feel sadness or joy, or I'm just going to feel angry, at any time, if you put like a wall up or a blockade, right, to not feel those things, you rid yourself opportunity of all the other stuff. And I only say that, right, not because like I'm like, oh, don't build walls, but I think it's just be aware. It's like, you know, the same way that we're able to feel, right, it all goes through the same place. And if you allow yourself to be open, right, and it's gonna be scary because you're gonna be like, oh, I really feel sad today, but your ability to feel really sad also tells me you have such an amazing ability to feel so much joy as well, and that feeling is not bad. It is a superpower, and not a lot of people feel deeply, and I know a lot of people that probably will never feel deeply through their lives. So to anyone that's out there that feels like, oh, I feel too much, or I cry too much, that just tells us that because you can feel things so vividly, that you're going to be able to feel everything else so vividly. So I know sometimes you're going to feel sad, but I have so much hope that in the same space that held sadness, there's room and potential for love, light, and joy, and laughter, and good things.
What a beautiful, beautiful way to end this. What is it? Safe messaging for mental health. Always end with a hopeful note.
Yes, exactly.
So with that, we'd like to thank you so much, Joyce, for being here on our journey with this podcast. Thank you everyone who is listening, and we'll see you, you'll hear us next time.
Special thanks to Andrew Speed for sound editing, mixing, and creating our intro music. In honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, new episodes of Everything's Cherry will be available every Wednesday for the entire month of May. Please be sure to tune in and listen, or find our visual podcasts available on YouTube. Don't forget to find and follow us on Instagram at Everything's Cherry Guam. We'll see you next time. If you are interested in being a guest on the show, send us a DM or email us at cherrygupodcast@gmail.com. Our aims with this podcast is to have important conversations about mental health, but we understand that the feelings brought upon through this exploration may sometimes linger. If you are looking for support and healing surrounding your experiences, the following resources are available and accessible for you. The Guam Behavioral Health and Wellness Center 24-hour crisis helpline can be reached at 671-647-8833, and the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline can be reached at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255.